Not so much today, because Western civilization as we know it is collapsing because Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram are down for a few hours. But normally, you might be scrolling through your social media feed right now, and you will undoubtedly see that parent who is the king or the queen of the overshare. Lots and lots of photos of the children, often spilling the beans on some private information, like their kid wetting the bed, or that they're struggling and don't have friends. But you'd never do that, right? No. You're much more discerning. But you do like to upload the photos of the grandkids because they're gorgeous, and you want to show all your family and friends and celebrate their lives. And, you know, so what if they go and look at it in the future? It'll just show that you love them, right? Who's seeing those photos? And what obligations do you have to your kid's privacy? Tama Lever is an associate professor in internet studies at Curtin University, and it's his business to look at just these sorts of questions. Hi, Professor. Welcome.
Good day, Darren.
Thank you for being with us. Do you have children of your own?
I do. Yes.
Excuse the irony of me asking you to publicly broadcast details about your children, but how old are they?
So I've got four. I've got 10, 7, 3, and 20 months.
Then I'll be particularly interested to see what your advice is in this regard, because you genuinely have skin in the game. First of all, when we post a photo of ourselves or anyone else to Facebook, what happens to it?
So the act of posting to Facebook means that it takes a copy of that photo. It makes numerous copies onto all the Facebook servers across the world, and it makes it available to other people depending on the privacy settings of your particular account. So it might make it public for anyone to find. It might make it available only to a limited group of people that you've predefined, or it might be one of those weird settings like friend of friends, which doesn't really mean very much because how many friends your friends have is a number that you've had no idea of.
Yes, and given 6 degrees of separation was a pre-social media phenomenon, it's now about 1.5 degrees of separation to almost everyone on the planet, right?
That's absolutely right.
So, having had that happen, have you come across any research that suggests what percentage of people are actively engaging with their privacy settings? For example, if you're listening to us right now, when was the last time you went on and understood exactly which of those options had been enabled for any of the posts that you've done? Can you inform that, Tama?
Oh, look, it's a fairly difficult question, and it's a moving feast. I think more people have spent more time thinking about that probably in the last year. I think Facebook had a pretty bad year in the press last year, and a lot of people at least took the time to look at their privacy settings a little bit, even if that's not private from Facebook. It's at least thinking about privacy on Facebook. I guess the other difficulty being a lot of people probably aren't aware, or aren't as aware as they should be, that Facebook also owns Instagram and WhatsApp. So, I mean, today that's been obvious because they all fell down. But at the same time, we think, oh, well, Facebook's terrible, but Instagram is a much safer space. And we need to sort of think of them as one big thing in some respects.
I'm always amused by how irritated those two applications are that I won't let them talk to each other. It's like, please let me talk to all of your Facebook friends on Instagram and vice versa. So it's one thing, we can exercise our own judgment. We're grown adults and you move through the world as you like. You put as many duck face selfies as you like and be judged accordingly. But once we start doing it for people who aren't yet adults, I guess in many ways the stakes are raised. Do you agree with that assertion, first of all?
Absolutely, because we do have a responsibility, and I guess for parents of my generation, we have the difficulty of having to be effectively modelling best practice, so modelling to our kids how we expect they're going to use social media when they grow up. But at the same time, we didn't really have that process. So my parents didn't use social media when I was growing up, so I didn't have any moments where I went, okay, I've had this thought before. So in many ways, this generation of parents are all having to figure it out on the fly. And we don't have, you know, really firmly established social norms yet. That's why some people call it sharing, some people call it oversharing. And that level of what's too much and what's wrong is something that really each individual is having to figure out for themselves.
Do you think there are some universal guidelines that we should all respect in that regard?
I think having conversations as kids grow older about what they're comfortable with, I think, is incredibly important. And at the same time, I think unless there's a really, really pressing reason to, I think most of us should be using private accounts. So only the people that we imagine, only the immediate family and friends that we're actually friends with on Facebook or Instagram. Yes, we might have more friends than we need, but at the end of the day, at least that basic level of privacy prevents this being completely public. I think that's a really important first step, and unless, as I say, there's a really good reason not to announce. Some parental influencers, for example, deliberately show everything that they do with their kids. Sometimes that's for advocacy reasons. Sometimes it's a business model. But apart from those sort of exceptions, you really think that, you know, photos of our kids are best shared with people that are really going to care about it.
7 to 4, you're with Aaron Carney on ABC Newcastle Drive. So to Tama Lever, Associate Professor in Internet Studies at Curtin University. I'm struggling to maintain the pretense of independence and in all of this. A big focus of my master's study was cybersecurity, and in that process I formed very strong opinions about this. Can I share my experience with you and get a reaction? I have two daughters, 11 and 4, and with the rarest of exceptions, maybe for a birthday or something, I will not share them on social media, partly for security reasons, but also because I don't know what the meaning of life is, but I think it's something around being able to write your own story. And if my children get to 18 and I've already written their story for them, I'm not sure if I've done the right thing by them. Do you have a reaction to that?
Oh, look, I think that's a really good point. I think that question of kids having to inherit sort of a digital footprint that they didn't make is going to be a really difficult one. I think, you know, kids desperately want the space to decide who they are and start performing that, and social media will be one of the spaces on which they perform. But if, as parents, we have, set the stage with various, you know, what we think are cute photos, but they almost certainly think are embarrassing things they want destroyed forever. I think that's going to be a real tussle in a lot of families, where parents and kids are going to have to negotiate whether this stuff should have been there in the first place, but more importantly, should parents have an onus on themselves to take this down when their kids turn around and say, I'm uncomfortable with that. And I think that's a conversation we're not all that prepared for.
Can you unbreak the egg if I think something is cute when somebody's 4 and it's less cute when they're 16? Can I remove that digital footprint somehow?
There are no absolutes once things are up on the web, but for the most part, certainly deleting things means that they're not accessible to other people easily. It doesn't mean that Facebook or Instagram forgets the impact of that moment. It doesn't mean that the metadata necessarily disappears, but certainly for accessibility terms, the act of deleting still does achieve that for many, many things. So it's never an absolute, and certainly you can't stop people taking screenshots or other things, but that doesn't happen in that many cases. So I think still having that discussion, and if as a parent you agree with your child that they should have more control of their digital destiny and that you want to delete a whole lot of things, or at least make them extremely private so maybe only immediate family can see them, that seems like a reasonable thing to ask them to do.
How much does Google access Facebook and Facebook access Google?
Oh, that's a really complicated question.
Let me frame it for you a different way. If I take some photos of my 15-year-old in a bikini and I post it now, and then she goes for a job at a fast food outlet in 3 years' time, how likely is her potential boss to be able to see the bikini photos of her?
All right, well, that depends more on the privacy settings that were in place when you post than anything else. Mm-hmm. It is true that Google and Facebook and other platforms talk to each other, and if that boss is searching her name, then, you know, it could pull up a Facebook profile. That's certainly true. But I guess the question of privacy in the first instance, what were the set privacy settings around that photo when it was first uploaded, are probably the most important ones.
I'm almost loath to go here, but do you have any evidence or understanding that photos of children are misappropriated or refashioned in other environments?
Oh, look, it's certainly true that there are going to be some very sad and very sick individuals who will trawl for photos of kids, especially very young kids, and, you know, save them, and they might be used in ways that we don't really want to think about. But I think that's rare, but it certainly does happen. So I guess if you're looking for the worst possible scenario, that's probably it. I don't think that the actions of those individuals should dictate what everybody else does. But at the same time, if we can prevent that spread by using privacy settings, because we don't need to show anybody except our immediate friends and family, then that doesn't seem like a terrible outcome.
So let's bring the conversation full circle. You are an associate professor in internet studies at Curtin University by day. By night, you're a dad who has to exercise all these judgments like the rest of us. You have young children. What's your approach?
Oh, look, I have a large number of very public social media accounts, which, as you would in my job, but I also have some very locked down private accounts. So I have a very private Instagram account that is really only accessible to close friends and family, and that's the space where I will take photos of my kids, and I'm aware that Instagram and Facebook have access to that data, but at the end of the day, there is real value in sharing the experience of your kids growing up, especially when your family is spread across the globe. So I think there's more value than I'm worried about, but at the same time, I do it in a very private and locked down way.
It's interesting, my wife is from England, and so she feels that strong compulsion to want to share what's going on in her life here with her old life back there. So she operates a Facebook account that is completely locked down, whereas mine is as open as me talking here on the radio. So completely different approaches to the same issue.
Oh, look, and I think that, you know, when you've got more than one person, when you've got two parents or more caregivers involved, you can do that. You can have, I mean, some people will just have, you know, a good old-fashioned email list where they'll email the best stuff to the you know, the 14 close family, and that's it. And that's just as effective in sharing the images, and probably more effective in privacy terms. It's probably more onerous, but at the same time, you know, many other options are available. If you're worried about privacy, work out a system that works best for you if you still want to share.
How very 2003 of you, Tamar. thank you. Really great discussion. As I say, I feel like every time we go into this social media and cyberspace, pun intended, we only ever scratch the surface. So I hope we have occasion to talk again. Tamar Lever, Associate Professor in Internet Studies at Curtin University.